I would like to take a little point of personal privilege this morning. I love Mountain Brook Church. You're wondering, who in the world are you and why do you love this church? It's intersected with my life in a lot of ways. My parents, my father-in-law and mother-in-law are missionaries, and they stayed in the White Missionary House twice. And we had Christmases there, and our children enjoyed that hospitality you gave them. I was Alabama CBF director and actually stayed in the Yellow House some as I traveled from Huntsville and connected in Birmingham. And don't ask me for back rent because I'm not going to pay you that, but I appreciated it very, very much. And probably my best friend in the world is Doug Dortch. So now I kind of see Mountain Brook, and forgive the use of this term, but I see it as his church. It's the Lord's church. It's your church. But I'm connected to you by reading newsletter, by hearing his sermons, and just knowing this is where he serves today. So it's a privilege to be here. I've told a couple of you I shall attempt to be eloquent but brief. And you'll be glad to get Doug back next Sunday, and that's all well and good. I do want to read the scripture text to you this morning. And if you have a pew Bible, you might turn there with me to 687. I think it's very important to read that text. In fact, I've given you the wrong page. Turn to Matthew 18, 21 through 35, and it's actually on 695. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like this: a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged. 'I'll pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me. I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that happened. Then the master called the servant. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all of you the debt. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Doug's preaching this wonderful series on questions God would ask. I said, "Well, okay, I'll try to hook into that. I'm no Doug Dortch, but I'll give you one." The title of the sermon is a question that Jesus asked Peter. Who's really counting here, Peter? I love Simon Peter. I feel connected to him. I've never done 23andMe or any of the DNA studies, but I have a feeling if I did, I might find that Simon Peter is somehow Scotch-Irish and connected to me in some way. He helps me in the Bible. He's blunt. He asks questions that nobody else would say out loud. He makes mistakes and goofs up, but comes right back and tries. Jesus loved Cephas, Simon Peter. And so when the questions ask, "How long do I have to forgive a brother?" it's probably one of the brothers in the small group. It's probably one of the disciples. And in case you've missed it, disciples get on one another's nerves every now and then. And so the forgiveness question is not just a big overarching question out into the world. It also comes back to us in church. And so Cephas says, "How much of this stuff do I need to give?" And he's willing to go further with his answer to Jesus. You know, a good Jewish boy was taught three times. God forgave Israel three times. And if you will forgive three times, that is good measure of grace. So Peter, being Peter, goes further and says, seven times? 3 plus 3, and I'll throw in one for good measure, and it's the holy number. Is that enough, Lord? And Jesus says, no, and it's a phrase that's used only one other time in the Scripture, 70 times 7. Lamech uses that phrase when he talks about retribution for the killing of Cain in Genesis. You'll have to struggle a little bit to remember that. But his revenge was going to be 70 times 7 and was going to kill everyone that had something to do with that murder. Jesus brings it back, and it's not about retribution. It's about grace. And it's an infinite holy number, and you know all that. And he says, this is infinite, Peter. You're going to have to forgive this guy, these people, your world, over and over. Now, to make it more clear, Jesus tells a story. It's cartoonish in a way. It is a story. And the characters in it are big and vivid. Don't take them too seriously, but you can take the message seriously. The king's probably a Gentile. Some guy owes him an impossible sum. I mean a sum that you and I probably can't even imagine. There may be people here today that owe millions. I don't want to know, and I don't want to know how that feels. But this guy in this era owed millions, maybe even billions, to the king. The king tried to collect the debt, and the guy begged him, said, you know, I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back. Don't take my wife and children. Don't throw us into prison. And this Gentile king does something unusual, and he gives him grace for the millions and billions. Scene 2, we smile. Isn't that just like us sometimes? He goes out full of grace, given forgiveness for his debt, and runs into the one guy that owes him $100 and grabs him by the throat and says, pay me what you owe me. And the guy uses the same line, please forgive me, I promise that I will pay off my debt. And not only does he not forgive him, but he has him thrown in prison where he can never pay off the debt. He can't work there. His life is ruined. The king in the story hears about it, calls him back in, and you know how it ends. He says, I have forgiven you, and you refuse to share that grace, then you are going to receive the justice that you should receive. And off to prison he goes. Then there's this warning from Jesus that I don't quite know what to do with, but it is strong. This is how your Father in heaven will treat you if you don't learn to forgive and give grace that's been given as it's been given to you. Well, we see it, don't we? This is one of the hard sayings of Jesus, and it's a whole new way of looking at the numbers of forgiveness. Who counts up this stuff? And God asks, which one of you is counting forgiveness? How many times you've had to forgive? What is the one last straw that will break the camel's back in the relationship you have where you cannot forgive anymore? Stop counting, Jesus says. I command you to not be driven by the numbers. And that's hard for us. It means giving up some power. You know, when somebody mistreats us and they owe us, we sort of have power over them. Our self-esteem, our position in life, we have been insulted. And we sometimes want to own that power and to hold ourselves slightly above the other while we refuse forgiveness. And there's power the other way when we don't forgive. When we hate and harbor grudges, that person that we are angry with still has power over us. Pastor talked to a woman after 10 years of divorce, and she still harbors hate for that spouse. And the pastor said, well, you know what? It's time for you to let him go. He still has power over your life every day by making you miserable in hate. It's time to forgive. Jesus knew that when we hate, it can hurt and that it separates people in the world. And he'd seen enough of it. When Jesus roamed around Galilee, he knew the stories of Cain and Abel. He knew the stories of Babylonian rule. He knew the hate that was going on between Roman and Jew. He knew, and he knows now. So much hate in our world. You can list the groups and the things that divide us. You can list the races or the classes or the ideology or even the politics that make us hate one another today because we're counting. We just can't let it go and stop and forgive. Old Peter helps us. And I think he really wanted some help with this. And he calls out to Jesus, okay, what are we supposed to do, Jesus? What is the deal with forgiveness? Tell us, give us a formula, and we'll do it. Give us a number. If it's 7, I'm in. Jesus said, well, there's a new math, Peter. It's not a number. It's not a series of things you do under the law. It is a continual willingness to forgive. And at first, that's bad news. I mean, really, we know ourselves, and we know that is hard and that we probably can't do that on our own. We can be nice for a while. We can sit in church with people maybe we resent. We can be at a family reunion and not say something that we really kind of want to say. We can go to work and bite our tongue and not say just what's on our mind, but it's hard. But man, to not only keep quiet, but to forgive, that's tough. Love your enemies, said Jesus. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Turn your cheek when you are insulted. Stop counting. Forgive over and over again. But here's the good news. While that's hard for us, we are told that the Spirit of God will enable us to forgive. That we have been forgiven by Christ, and even as He has forgiven us, we are to forgive one another. And the church was born out of this powerful Spirit that lives within us as it teaches us every day a better way. My human nature, you hit me, I'll hit you back. Some would say I'll hit you back twice as hard, or 10 times as hard, or 20 times as hard. Christ-like nature, you hit me, I'll forgive you. I might not like it, and we may not always be in the most jolly relationship in the world, and we may even go separate ways at times, but I am not going to harbor hate in my heart for you. And there's a Spirit that helps us to be angry, but sin not. To not seek retaliation, but to turn our eyes into the hills from where we get our help, into the Spirit that can guide us. And that's a daily deal. I cannot call that Spirit into my life if I am not in touch with God about it. My human nature will always come first, and when I am angry, I will retaliate. But when I am in the Spirit, through my prayers and my discipleship and my study, I can find the strength to do as Christ has done for us. So I tell you in closing what you already know. The world is a broken, angry, unforgiving place. Gee, isn't that good news, preacher? The church is the place where we learn to be different, where we are the place that sets a different standard for how we see one another, even in differences, even when we are offended or hurt. Somebody hurts you bad. They leave you, or they lie to you, or they steal from you, or they insult you, or they belittle you. You have to respond. And the response that Jesus gives is a new math that says, don't say one more time. Don't say that's the straw that breaks the camel back. 70 times 7. Muster up your spiritual strength to forgive again, and you will be living out life as I have called you to. I like the Fred Craddock story. It's simple. Fred was a great preacher. Little child's running through the house. Mama says, stop running. You're going to break something. The child keeps running, and guess what happens? The child breaks something, and not only something, but it is a vase. And it is a very important vase. The dad intervenes, sees trouble coming. He says, oh, there, now, that's okay. It's just a vase. You run along and play. The mom picks up the pieces and stops the child and says, no, this is not just a vase. This was my mama's vase. And this was her mother's vase. And I was going to pass this to you. And you have broken it. And she weeps. And the child sees the mother weep, and the child weeps. And they embrace in each other's arms in weeping and pick up the broken vase. Craddock asked the congregation a simple question. Which one really forgave? The father or the mother? Forgiveness is tough, and it has to go deep. And it has to be done over and over and over. And the next time you are tempted not to forgive again, you remember the question that God would ask of you. Why are you counting? I don't count when I give grace to you. Learn not to count when you give grace to others. Forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. You have been sealed with His forgiveness. 70 times 7. And you can count on that.